tuning in to the Undercut's review of the 2025 Australian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, guys, we just had the first race of the 2025 season, and it was quite a doozy. The Australian Grand Prix. It was expecting to be rainy, and that is what we got. Lando was starting on pole, so obviously I was very excited with Oscar right next to him, and it should have been straightforward, but with the rain coming, that was not what happened. But Lando was able to hold on, but barely.
Absolutely.
There was a lot going on.
Not a straightforward drive from pole victory, was it?
Not at all. what was the gap in the end? I don't even remember what the gap ended up being, but it was half a second.
Super close. Yeah, yes. Yeah. It was, you know, towards the end, you know, Verstappen really, really, really was pushing him on the last lap. But in the end, he did come across, but it was far from straightforward. And then when you look at, you know, it was a McLaren front row, first front row lockout for the opening round of the season since like 1744.
When they were in,
it was
like,
maybe like 2000
carts and before, buggies,
or 1996
before the American Revolution.
It was like a long time since a McLaren had locked out the front row of an opening round of the season. So, you know, the form that we saw during the testing, really, as we went through the weekend, through the practice, into the qualifying, Max was really, really strong. But when it really, really came down to it in Q3, it was the McLaren guys at front, and they locked out the front row, and with Max in third. So it was always with Max there, you know, it's never going to be easy for the front two to disappear and have a clean race and a clean strategy to do the things that they want to do.
I mean, like you said, all things considered, with the pace that the McLarens had, Max sure made it interesting from the very beginning. I mean, he was able to edge his way past Oscar almost immediately and hold on to it for a while. But once Oscar was able to get
back ahead.
And that
was a great move. It was a really great move. If you watch it in replay, you can see that he squeezes Oscar to the inside going into turn one. So he knows that on the exit, Oscar's going to be having to put a lot more steering into it to make it into turn two. And in those kind of conditions, and when you watch Max's in-car, you see, or even the view above, you see that Oscar has to put on a lot of steering, and he just can't get the traction through turn two, and Max just cruises around the outside. It was actually very, very cool to watch. It was a great move by Max.
Sure.
The three of them were just, at that point though, the three of them just sort of drove away from the field, didn't they? A little bit. I think Tsunoda was up there, but was Russell in fourth at that point?
He was,
With Tsunoda behind him, and then maybe the Ferraris, but the three of them just sort of gapped the field almost immediately. But they were all pushing each other, right? We're all trying to see, you know, who could do what. And it looked like they were just going to stay that way until around about, what, lap 17 was when Verstappen had a mistake.
Yeah.
He lost grip on braking going into the corner, and he just sort of went straight on, went a little bit too deep.
That was like turn 11 or so. You could see he went through like a massive puddle and a bunch of water spat up. And I don't know whether he just lost his tires at that point and he got too cold and then he couldn't get them back to where they needed to or what. Yeah. But, you know, in the next, I mean, I think that it probably, he was dropping off at a second or two a lap.
Yeah.
Point where he was like 5 seconds or so behind very, very quickly.
Yeah. But it was one of those wet races, which is like the perfect kind of wet race where it starts off wet and then it's drying. So the tires are all falling off. Everybody's wondering who's going to change tires, who's going to stay out. in the end, that was on lap 17, I think, when Verstappen went deep. Even then, they were talking about the tires going off, trying to find damp spots. But yeah, Verstappen dropped behind Piastri, and then Piastri was able to cruise up quite close to Lando, I think.
Yeah, he was.
And Zach even came on the radio, and well, I think they did a little interview with him, and they said they're free to race. I don't know how much of that is what he says for the cameras and what they say behind closed doors or something different, but Oscar got quite close, but then like in the early 30s lap, I think he just touched a curb and he sort of got a little squirrely and lost all his momentum, and that sort of gapped him back to gapped him to Lando a bit in the around about the lap 30.
Zach said, yeah, they're free to race, but then it kind of got to a pivotal moment in the race where they had them, okay, let's hold station for a bit because stuff was happening.
Yeah,
and
everybody,
then a little bit later on, they said, okay, you're back to free to race. But there was like a little phase where they just said, let's not mess it up, guys. It seemed like they said,
let's not mess, just don't mess it up when they were actually about to attack each other. But they were legitimately concerned that it was going to start raining again, though. So they didn't want to necessarily come in, put on slicks to only have to go back straight back onto Inters again.
Yeah.
So it was really tricky. But then Alonso fixed that for everybody.
Yes, he did.
And how often do you see Fernando just dropping it all by himself?
Yeah, he just...
I cannot remember the last time he did it.
That was the same curb that Oscar had his moment on, but this one, it just dumped him right into the wall. Safety car, and then literally everybody went in for slick tires.
Yeah, but that was turn six, right? Where they've brought the gravel less than a car's width.
That's right.
From the inside of the corner. So all weekend, you've got guys kicking gravel into the racing line of track.
Yeah.
But without exceeding track limits. So there was just constant gravel all over the apex of that corner the whole weekend. I don't know. They must have just done something just a little bit unexpected. I don't think they meant to do it. Surely they can't have meant to do it, because that was like in qualifying or in practice. They were throwing out red flags to clear some of that gravel. Obviously, they couldn't do that in the race.
Yeah.
But it just felt like they'd handicapped themselves. It was a bit weird. It was a bit weird. But you saw a number of people going just ever so slightly too far left and kicking out gravel all through every session that we had.
Maybe they'll do something about that next year. And then
it also made it very interesting, though, because when they kick the gravel up a little bit, that's on six, and then seven comes pretty quickly afterwards. And if you hit the gravel on six, it really disadvantages you coming out, and it meant that in a race situation, you obviously go through six and you go seven, and then it's flat out through eight and into nine. You actually had an opportunity to pass if someone had just kicked up some gravel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everybody onto slicks, and then they're just waiting for the rain to start again.
Right? Yeah. Lots of arguing.
It was so weird because everyone was like, oh, yeah, he's crashed, and now we've all got to jump onto dries. And then it felt like it was only maybe had the safety car even come in when they were talking about having to go back to Inters again?
It was quite a long safety car. I don't think he crashed on like lap 33, 34. I don't think the restart was until like lap 41.
It was like eight laps. Wow, I didn't realize it was that long.
And then, by lap 44, the rain just started bucketing down. And that's when all of a sudden, you look up on your screen. I think the Ferraris and Tsunoda were all fighting each other. That's what they were showing. And then they just cut. And Jason, your heart must have sank when they made that cut to see both the McLaren.
Both cars off track.
Off track. You must have been like, oh.
And then
no.
Verstappen right there. It's like, it's not so much the fact that the McLaren.
How did he catch up so fast?
But Verstappen is... Well, I mean, it was because they just came off the back of the safety car.
Only done three laps after the safety car. So what were your thoughts then, Jason? Did you wake everybody up?
I was just like, of course, it's over. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
It was late. So I tried to, you know, keep it as quiet as possible, but it was very difficult.
I mean, Lando managed to go off the track, come back on, but then keep it on the track. Oscar had the worst luck where he went off, back on, off
but
again.
He just kept sliding. He just went off sliding. The track and then it was just like slid and kept going and kept going. And
no
he was like spinning his wheels. He couldn't get out and couldn't get out. And Lando, like straight away, he's like, I'm in the pits. Verstappen went round. And then, you know, Lando came out the pits and he was like on turn six. And then suddenly, Oscar had some traction in reverse.
Yeah.
So he must have been sitting in the grass, spinning his wheels, probably for like 20 seconds. And he just kept going. And then he managed to get a bit of traction by putting in reverse and backing out. Yeah. And his wheels are spinning. And there was a moment where he was just coming out of the grass and he was just hitting the tarmac. And I was like, I hope you don't just suddenly get grip and just bash it straight into the barrier. But then I did see on Twitter or whatever it's called now, he was saying that he got some practice backing up a tractor on Jeremy Clarkson's farm.
That's true. He did go onto Clarkson's farm and drove Jeremy's Lambo, his Lambo tractor.
So he put on Twitter, he claimed on Twitter that he'd learned how to back a tractor up and that helped him in that situation. Whether it really did or really didn't, it was kind of funny.
Yeah. But I mean, great call from Lando. He went straight into the pits immediately.
I mean, he would have gone into the pits four laps earlier than that. He was trying to go in. As soon as he heard about the rain, he was like, bring me in.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, this is the point in the race where the winners and losers and quick decision-making, like everything just piled up because right then, Norris, Russell, Albon, Antonelli, Stroll, and Hülkenberg all go straight into the pits from whatever position they were in. Whereas the Tsunoda, the two Ferraris, and Verstappen stay out at least for one more lap. And that made, for those other guys, Albon, Antonelli, Stroll, and Hülkenberg, that just was a massive decision. Just catapulted them up the standings.
And Carlos crashed out on the... We didn't call this out at the start.
Yeah.
There were a few first lap issues, but one of which was Carlos Sainz just losing it on an upshift or something in the last corner on lap one, which is very uncharacteristic, but, you know, obviously getting used to a new car, first time out in a race, whole new engine, you know, all the talk about what's Lewis going to do in a Ferrari that has a completely different power delivery to the Mercedes that he'd always had. But on the race day, it was something that happened with Carlos, putting him into the barrier on the last corner. But James Vowles, I saw, was saying how Carlos actually was on the pit wall, listening to things, paying attention to what the weather was. And when he saw it coming down, he was like, we have to pit now.
All right, so he was ready to call in Albon.
He was like an extra guy on the pit wall,
right?
Like calling the conditions that were out there on the track at the time, and saying this is when we need to bring Alex in, which I thought was kind of cool.
So those guys, they made absolutely the right call because Tsunoda stayed out. He had a little spin on that lap, and the two. So he has a little spin, but he keeps going. And then Tsunoda and Verstappen pit at the end of lap 46. So that's kind of like the first opportunity that Verstappen's had to pit after going around one more time. But the Ferraris stay out again. Ferraris lead 1-2, and that's the end of the race. Ferraris win 1-2. great race. They red flagged it at that point.
I actually think it was one of the Red Bulls, but I actually think it was maybe Liam Lawson who was in the pit. And he was coming, he'd just come out of his pit box. And you could see right at the far end, the red Ferrari go by the end of the pit lane. I was like,
oh man,
what are you doing? I think that must have been Lewis. But
it was, oh my God. And then
it was 2022 again.
I mean, and then
22, yeah.
I guess, so they stay out, the Ferraris stay out, they're in the lead, and I think Tsunoda might still have stayed out at this point as well, but they just have no grip, and then Lawson bins it, and Bortoletto,
yeah, on the penultimate corner, right where Piastri slid off, but Bortoletto put it into the barrier and was spinning off, and that was a bit of a shunt.
So yeah, I think yeah. So then the Ferraris have to pit behind the safety car. It's just a dagger, and they drop all the way down to I don't know whatever the position they ended up in, 13th or 12th or something like that.
Yeah, I think they're finishing now 8th and 10th.
I guess you know, six cars were out at this point. So
Leclerc in 8th.
You can't go that far.
Lewis in 10th, I think.
But I mean, the Ferrari lack of decision making, I guess, or you know, I don't know if they thought they were making the right decision, but getting it wrong again, just
so frustrating. If you listen to their radio, they were saying it's going to be class 3 rain for like a lap,
right? Yeah,
so it's like they thought, oh, these guys are all pitting, let's keep going, and then they went round again, and then Verstappen went in, and they went round again, but then at that point, yeah, the rain, the hardest rain, the heaviest rain had lasted about a lap. But there was a lap either side of that when it was not quite as heavy, but it was still a ton of rain. So they were always going to be on a wet track with dry tires on. And it just didn't work.
I was just thinking back to the days in the 90s of Ross Brawn and Michael Schumacher in the Ferrari, and they were just the masters of strategy. They never put a foot wrong, and those days are long gone now. I mean, the Ferraris looked okay. They're decent, sort of top of the mid pack pace. They weren't obviously up there with Verstappen and the McLarens, but or the Mercedes, but best of the rest possibilities, but not if they keep shooting themselves in the foot. Anywho.
But I mean, ultimately, Max was pretty close to Lando, but Lando seemed to be just kind of, you know, playing it, I mean, as safe as you can in that kind of situation, just trying to stay on track and keep Max behind, which he was ultimately able to do, although it was very, very close, but, you know.
Yeah, but I think that the Max-Lando situation from certainly the second half of last year has meant that Lando now has that calm about him when he's in the lead and Max is behind him, because he knows that he can keep Max behind. And especially at this point in the season, there's a lot of points on the table. End of last season, Max had such a lead that Lando kind of knew that Max would probably have a bit more of a go than he would now, because Max had the points advantage then. So if they were both out of the race, then he's still got a 20 something point lead. Now they're all starting on 0 points. So I think Lando kind of realized that Max wasn't going to try anything rash, because they don't want to be going into round two of the championship and Max being 25 points behind Lando. So it was really high pressure at the end, but Lando knew how to deal with that pressure. He recognized that it was not going to be something. He didn't get freaked out by it.
I mean, it definitely looks right now like that McLaren is the best car. Like Lando was driving within himself. Like he didn't have to push it as hard as Max, and he could take care of his tires a lot more. Yeah. He looked like he had something in reserve. So yeah, great drive from him, and a great drive. And I have to eat some humble pie from George Russell, because I was giving him no chance. I said he couldn't take the pressure of being the best driver in the team, or the number one driver of the team. But a solid drive from George, you didn't really see much of him on the screen.
I was on Twitter this afternoon, as you do, and there was a picture, and it was Woody from Toy Story, but in a Mercedes race suit. And when you look at it, you go, that really does look like George Russell.
It sure does.
And it said, did nothing, P3.
Yeah, no, exactly. But what a drive from his rookie teammate, though, Kimi.
Yeah.
I mean, he tried from to join
14th on the grid.
Oh, from wait, yeah, he didn't make it
16th,
out.
Of, he was, wait, I think.
16th? He didn't. He yeah. didn't make it out of Q1. And he tried to join his rookie friends in the wall, but he got away with his spin.
Turn four. Yeah. It was only like that wasn't that deep into the race.
It was like around like lap 16 or something. He passes Hülkenberg, spins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hülkenberg retakes him.
And then
he gets back on the cut, gets back and retakes Hülkenberg the same again. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, yeah. So let's talk about the rookie, shall we? Like,
I mean, Kimi.
Obviously, rookie of the day is 100% Antonelli. Yeah. He had that one moment, but apart from that, it was pretty spotless. He did
no great drive.
They gave him a 5-second penalty for an unsafe release in the pits.
Yeah,
but then. Dozen hours later, maybe.
It took it off.
They took it back and they said, actually, it wasn't. It's a little bit weird, and no one really likes to see points changing, you know, positions, especially changing hands that far after the race. But whether it be fourth, whether it be fifth, it was a great measured drive by an 18-year-old guy.
Yeah, who just got his driver's license.
For sure.
I didn't know. I knew that he couldn't drive when he was driving stuff last year, but like, wow. I mean, yes, when all of the other rookies didn't have a great day, he really showed himself as being head and shoulders above the rest.
Yeah.
Other than Antonelli, Behrmann did finish the race, but in a very unspectacular last place, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to the rest of his weekend, finishing the race is
he had a shocker in practice and qualifying. I think before the race he'd maybe done 17 laps or something.
Yeah, he didn't even start qualifying, right?
He didn't do any practice. He crashed in FP1, didn't get out for FP2, and then beached it in FP3.
Yeah. that's right. He did 17 laps in practice one, but binned it and missed all of practice two. They tried to get him out, but they couldn't. And then, FP3, they sent him out straight away. And on his first lap, he spun into the gravel.
Yeah.
And then, Lawson and Bortolello both got into the 40s on laps before they both crashed
It started raining from the dry situation, from being a drying race to being suddenly wet. And then suddenly they had no grip.
Yeah.
And that caught them out.
And then,
but Isaac Hadjar,
he's the only one we haven't talked about yet. Yeah, brutal
on the formation lap, which has happened before.
Yeah, Grosjean.
I mean,
David Coulthard.
David Coulthard is the one I'm thinking of as well. From the 90s. And that was definitely in the dry as well. He just been. So I haven't heard what he's had to say about it. He's had a couple Coulthard, I think. I think he crashed in the pit.
On commentary for F1 TV. I was listening to the Sky Sports coverage, but I believe that he was on commentary for F1 TV.
I don't know what he had to say about it, but yeah, binning it, like, I mean, treacherous conditions for your first race, you know, wet track and all that, but still, I mean,
he didn't really do anything wrong. It just looked like, did he get a white line? Was he just trying to just do a little bit, trying to get a heat in or something? I really felt for him. But Jason, I think you were going to go in the Hamilton.
He got exactly. He got consoled by his hero's dad on the way back to the paddock. Yeah. So that was cool.
I mean, you can't see much when they're wearing those race suits and they keep their helmets on, but his body language spoke volumes about, like, he was just absolutely crushed
when he got out of the car and he was stood and there was a marshal right there just kind of you know, got his hand on his shoulder and he's like holding the front of his helmet and he's just like,
oh my God.
You got to feel for the dude. And, you know, seeing Anthony Hamilton later in the broadcast, in the post-race show, just said like, yeah, as a racing dad, your heart went out to him and he just, you know, went up to him and was, you've gotten here. Don't let it get you down.
Yeah.
Because I think Hadjar did an amazing job. He qualified 11th.
Yeah.
I when we were doing the preseason show, I was kind of down on Hadjar. I was like, he's going to be the guy that's a little bit out of his depth. Obviously, he showed a little bit of immaturity and a lack of experience and obviously spinning it on corner two of the formation lap. But yeah. What he showed through practice and qualifying in 11th, A, was that like he did really well.
Sure.
B, the racing bulls will be have actually turned it around quite significantly.
I mean, Tsunoda, he qualified fifth. Tsunoda, I mean, amazing.
They pit a lap too late, so they missed the boat on the rain coming in, which ruined his chance of points. But great race from him. And I think really the only top guys we haven't really spoken about are Albon, who incredibly finished in P4 in the Williams. That is going to be fantastic this year.
Well, he finished P5, was promoted to P4 with the penalty for
the unsafe release.
Antonelli. But then when they
back to P5,
then when they nicked the penalty on Antonelli, he went back down to P5. But that's not taking nothing away from what Williams have done. When you think about where they were this time last year, and I'm a Williams guy, my buddy, and how they entertained us in Suzuka, but it was phenomenal to see them. I've been there. I've been all over their Twitter feed ever since the end of the race, seeing that all the boys like high-fiving, jumping around, really, really celebrating. Fantastic result for them because they've gone from being 18, 19, 20 to being what they thought was fourth at the time, but still fifth.
Yeah.
Unfortunate for Carlos that he lost it in the wet. But you can't argue with the progress that they've made over the course of the off-season.
Yeah.
They've really done an awesome job.
Yeah, and they've got one of the best driver lineups on the grid. So,
I mean, they've got this. You're right. I mean, for Grand Prix experience, those two guys know exactly what they're doing. And Albon's done it, you know, has performed everywhere he's gone. So give him a car, you should be able to get it done.
Yeah.
We know Carlos can.
Yeah.
And then Stroll and Hülkenberg, like in the top 10 as well. Like, I mean,
Stroll
that
sixth and Hülkenberg seventh.
Yeah,
ahead of that, both Ferraris. Sorry,
Martin. But that pit, that call. don't say that out loud. But that call to pit immediately, you know, when the McLarens went off and the rain started, that was massive for those two guys.
Yeah.
You know, went right up the standings with that call.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that Stroll had finished in sixth until about 9 hours after the end of the race. But fair play, he kept his nose clean. I mean, it's the same with Hülkenberg. It's the same with George, right? Yeah, they had somewhat uninspiring races, and you didn't really see them on TV a whole lot. But they kept their nose clean. They kept it on the track.
Not easy.
And they didn't get involved in things, and they got some results. And that's on a day like today, when things are changing, anything can happen. If you're just unspectacular and just get stuff done, you're gonna score some serious points.
Yeah, and make the right decision at the right time.
Yeah.
What about Liam Lawson? I mean, he's in the same car supposedly as Max Verstappen. I mean, we know how much trouble Sergio had driving this car last year. I mean, Lawson was just tooling around in the low teens, right?
Should have been Yuki. That's all I have to say.
At the back of the grid, you know, he couldn't really make any progress the whole race.
It's been a tough week. It's been a very tough weekend for Liam. And Yuki's obviously had a grip up until lap 42-43, was having a very strong weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a few people on the broadcast, or certainly that I've seen, is like, yeah, he's the guy that they really should have put in. But you don't want to be, you don't want to take anything from Liam. Liam did nothing wrong. He was in the right place to get the seat, given the circumstance. But you've got then memes of, you know, a la Star Wars, you know, how like a Star Wars, you've got Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi and those guys in the clouds saying, come join us. But it's, you know, it's Pierre Gasly and Alex Albon.
All of the number two drivers.
Daniel Ricciardo.
Oh, God.
Like Jedi outfit thing.
I mean, the difference between the two of them is just seems massive right now. Yeah. So,
but
this was
a weird weekend, so you can't judge.
No.
Judge. But you know what? By the time they're in, you know, we've got
China
more
next
races.
Week.
We've got China, and then we've got Saudi, and then
Bahrain.
We've got Bahrain, and then we've got a couple more. We've got actually like 5 or 6 races in 7 weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
By the time they get to Spain, all the talk is about Jack Doohan having 6 races to prove himself, but I don't know. We'll see how Liam does, but we can't judge him until then. Really.
He was the other rookie we didn't mention. So he binned it on the second corner of the first actual racing lap, didn't he? And that was his home Grand Prix, Jack Doohan. So
yeah,
he didn't get any experience behind the wheel either. I mean, it was a wet race, so these things happen. But
again, it was like all by himself.
Yeah, great. What a great opening. In it,
you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Great opening race for the season, though.
Yeah.
You know, lots to all to play for.
Yeah, I mean,
China.
What are the standings at this point in time? I mean, obviously, well,
I think
I guess
it's leading
the
driver's
championship is Lando. It's
as the race finishes,
Although I think 27 points apiece for
Mercedes
McLaren.
And McLaren. Yeah, from Mercedes and McLaren.
Yeah, Mercedes and McLaren. Because Lando obviously won with for 25 points.
Oscar got
ninth.
Got 10th. And Lando got fastest lap.
Yeah.
Or is that not a point anymore?
No point anymore.
For fastest lap.
I think Piastri came ninth because the two Ferraris were 8th and 10th.
Okay.
He snuck in ahead of Hamilton on the last lap. Piastri.
Yeah. Actually, no. I may stand corrected because Mercedes are probably now the top. Because of Antonelli's promotion up from 5th to 4th.
It's 27 each. It's 27 each. McLaren, Mercedes, Red Bull 18, yeah. Williams 10, and then it goes down from there.
So clearly, listeners, we know exactly what we're talking about. We've got everything, all this information at our fingertips.
I'm looking at it right now. It's tied at 27 each. So
yeah, Oscar got 9th.
Yeah. A long way to go yet, but you know, points for Sauber off the bat, which is unexpected for them, I think.
Yeah,
great for them.
So we'll see what happens.
But pointless after round one, Martin. You have it up in front of you.
What's that?
How many teams are 0 points?
Oh, right? Zero
three
points.
Teams, three yeah. teams: Haas, Racing Bulls, and Alpine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not good. Looked good at times. Unfortunate with the timing. I don't doing on lap one, but Gasly maybe again sort of not pitting at the right time. Racing Bulls, Hadjar backing it. Yuki wrong call on the pit stop.
Yeah.
But Haas were nowhere.
Haas are the new Sauber. Maybe I don't know. We'll see.
I think Sauber is still the same Sauber.
Well, how long till... Okay, so then Sauber have 6 points. How long till Haas overtakes Sauber in the standings, Jason? How many races?
Like five.
See, exactly.
Only because they're only going to have chances at points in the very bottom of the table, right? They're not going to be anywhere likely in the top 8. But I don't think Sauber is going to be scoring any points unless there's another rain situation or a safety car in some really odd place where they would come in and gain that many spots.
Hulkenberg put, you know, didn't put a foot wrong, just like Stroll, you know, they didn't, there's ample opportunity to bin it and they managed to keep it on the road, but
yeah,
we shall see.
I mean, if the Ferraris had not made that bad mistake, then they would have been ahead of the Sauber's, right?
They should have been 100%.
So, but I guess that's really it, other than Coupes F1.
Oh, Coupes F1. Yeah. So, I mean, tough going for a lot of people, you know, early season. So, top score, Captain Davey, 228 points.
It's pretty good.
Did he have Lance Stroll in sixth or something? I mean, he's got
He had Stroll in eighth. Yeah. He did have Stroll in his top 10. He had Albon in there. He had a lot. He had Tsunoda in there as well, which should have got him points, but didn't. And Gasly. So he had eight of the top 10 correct, plus Lando for pole and fastest lap. So well done to that player. Big Lou came fourth, who's one of my friends from a long time ago. Nice. But yeah, still a long way to go, all to play for. I'm not quite sure out of us.
Martin, you picked Lando in fourth.
Well, I could have put my Ferrari tinted glasses
Max
on.
Max is always going to finish second.
I just thought, and you know, Max. Ferraris. I think I put Max first and Ferrari second and third or something. It's the same thing that happens every year. I got to like have it beaten out of me. But a great
start by you, Jason.
He's
got scarlet tinted glasses.
Exactly. A great start by you, Jason, in 21st.
Way different from last year's start to the season.
Yeah. Nick, and I think I'm in 200 and something. I had a disaster. I didn't even break 100 points. So all to play for. Long way to go.
Plenty still to happen.
More races to go.
Yeah, and it's a sprint. It's a sprint race this weekend. So deadline to put your picks in will be on Friday. Or no, that's not right.
Saturday, right?
Qualifying still is on Saturday, isn't it? That's right.
After the sprint race.
After the sprint race, they moved it around. So
yeah. Sweet. Anything else we missed? I don't think so.
No, but I'm already looking forward to this. Is going to much, much better already than the last couple of years. You know,
I mean, we really don't even know what to expect for the next race.
Nope.
It's going to be good. I mean, it's so tight. You think about all the teams that are just getting closer and closer together in their times. And how many races until Sauber scored last year? I think 23.
Yeah.
I think Joe scored a point in the 23rd race of the season. And now Hulkenberg's already finished seven in a race. You know, it's a lot of coming together. I'm worried about Haas, but I think that basically everyone else could score points on any weekend.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with Haas. Hope they do okay. But it's super tight.
Yeah.
Super tight.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2025 Australian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the 2025 China Sprint Race Weekend. We'll see you there.